Good evening. How is everyone today? It is so good to be here, and I'm so thankful. I'll tell you, what a warm church. What a wonderful church it has been. Talking with many of you, I had such a great time last night, just fellowshipping this morning, sharing the word with you, but talking with people afterwards, and wow, what a meal. And we had a meal after church, and then I had a wonderful time with the youth. Boy, it's very difficult not to love teenagers, I'll tell you. Just beautiful, beautiful kids that are here, and I don't mean that disrespectfully as kids. If your teens are here, you're not kids, but compared to me, you're kids, okay? And I have kids that are teens and older, wow, just beautiful. I'm just so thankful to be here. So thank you for having us. And it's a privilege to be here tonight and to be with you. And to how many want to just spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ together? How many want to do that tonight? Because he is still the way, the truth, and he's still the life. And I'm so thankful for who he is. And, you know, as I was sharing with the teenagers, I shared some things about being satisfied in the Lord and surrendering to him and being satisfied in the power that he gives to us, and just reminiscing what God has done in my life and how good he is since I was a teenager and coming to know him when I was in high school. And we talked about, right, my room. If you saw my bedroom back when I was a teen and prior to that, you'd be like, "You're called?" Just an encouraging the teens, if God can use just a plain old suburban kid that had a crazy room, he could use anybody. And how many want to be used of the Lord? Amen. Well, I'm so thankful tonight. We're going to be talking about something. If you could open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And how many want to read some scripture tonight? I know I went to scripture today and we read some verses, but I want to read some passages today, because what I really feel the Lord is wanting to talk to you about and minister to us tonight about is something that I believe can actually defeat anything that is trying to overwhelm you, like we talked about this morning. How many want to see God overwhelm those things that are overwhelming you in your life? Amen? And it's only the Lord that can do it. We can't overwhelm those things that are bigger and stronger than us. And so this is really something that we need to understand in a precious way, in a powerful way today. But I want to talk to you today about something that will really solve your problems. I'm here today to let you know that if there's a problem that you have, that if you are overwhelmed, yeah, we had some points of what young David did, and we know that he remembered, came in the name of the Lord, and had faith. But I'm here to tell you that I want to talk about a subject, a truth. I guess you could call it not really a principle, but all I know is that the fruit of what I'm about to talk to you about is amazing, because I have seen changed lives, I've seen diseases healed, I've seen addictions broken, I've seen angry people become gentle and kind and good to others, I've seen such a life change, I've seen prisoners cry and repent and be saved, I've seen people that never felt love feel love. I've seen people that have literally walked spiritually out of darkness and into light and are called of the Lord. I've just seen amazing things. And the good news is that the answer is available to you any second of every single day, including tonight. And the answer is the actual presence of God. We're going to talk about the presence of God. How many want to talk about that tonight? We talk about his presence every day, don't we? When we talk to each other, our husbands, our wives, I talk to my wife, we talk about the presence of God. We talk about God's presence here at church, don't we? We prayed about God, we thank you for your presence, that you're here. Lord, we sing and we worship about his presence, but there's a few things I want to talk about when we talk about God's presence, because it is the presence of God that you and I need desperately in our life from moment to moment, day to day, year to year. We need the presence of God in our churches. We need it in our schools. We need it in our community. It is about who God is and in him dwelling among us. Isn't that right? And when we talk about God's presence, we say, God, we thank you for your presence. What we're saying is, God, we thank you that you are with us, that you are dwelling among us. And I'm thankful that God is a God that isn't transcendent, so far up in heaven that he never wants to talk to us or be near us or fellowship with us, but we serve a God that loves to reveal himself and reveal himself as a God of presence. As a God that desires to be with us, and the more that we understand who he is, why he's with us, and to honor him and to honor his presence, and when we understand the truth about his presence, I'm telling you, it is life-changing. It will change your perspective. It will change your heart. It will change the way you think. It will change the way you obey and act. It will change the way you pray. It will change everything about your life. When you have kids and children that you're raising that might be challenging, have some challenging years, when you understand God's presence, you will understand how to take care of situations that come against you, that you're going through in such a profound and powerful way. I have experienced such wonderful presence of God even in the face of people dying physically. That no matter where you are or what you have been through or what experiences that you have had, I'm here to tell you that it is the presence of God that makes all the difference in your life and in my life. And it's his presence that could heal you and will restore you and empower you and equip you. And it's his presence as we understand it and when we long for it will change everything. How many agree with that here today? That it's the presence of God. And so tonight, I want to give you three things. Again, it's three. I know. It's three. Everyone say three. But there's three things I want to talk about when we talk about God's presence. And the first thing is we want to talk about the truth of God's presence, that God is with us. How many believe that God truly is with us right now? That God really is with us and that God is with us even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's why David said, he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. It's not because I have great strength. It's not because I drink a good milkshake that's going to give me strong protein. It's not because I have a house like this or I have a job like this. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The reason is because God, your presence, you are here with me. All of who you are is with me. And when he understood all of who God was and knowing that he was with him, David was able to overcome. David was able to have peace even though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death because he knew God's presence was with him. Now, we know in upstate New York that you guys get cloudy days, right? Don't we? Snowy days, windy days, cold days. And how many like snow? I'm just curious. All right, nice. You know, I didn't mind snow until I moved more south from New York. I'm getting spoiled. We haven't had an inch yet. But I love snow. I really did. And one thing I really love is the snow during Christmas. But how many has ever been outside? You're going to the store, grocery store. The winds were whipping today, but the winds were really whipping. It's like 30 below zero. It's snowing. It's a blizzard. It's dark out even during the day. And man, it doesn't feel like it's warm. It doesn't look like there's any light out. And it's just a gloomy day. You know what I'm talking about here? Of course you do. But how many realize that if you were to go by your feeling in the darkness and the cold and you looked around at the circumstances of the weather, of the snow, and if you were to say, man, it doesn't feel like the sun's out. No, it doesn't look like the sun's out. I don't see the sun during the day. Did you know that the truth is that the sun is actually there? That the sun hasn't moved even through the winter. Even through the cold, even through the dark, even through even in those times that we go through tough times, we must understand that God is still there even during the hard circumstances. In many times, what happens is the enemy, what he will do is he will deceive us into thinking that God is a certain way that he's not. And he will kind of like, he will begin to turn the nature of God. He will begin to lie to us and say, God doesn't love you anymore because if he loved you, this wouldn't have happened, or you wouldn't have gone through this trouble, or this over here, what you wouldn't have gone through some heartache, or this wouldn't have been, you go through these trials, these winters of your life, and you feel like God is far away. But the truth is he hasn't moved. That he's actually with you during those times. And what we must understand when we talk about the truth of God's presence is that he truly doesn't leave you and he doesn't forsake you. And some of you here today may feel like that God has forsaken you, he has left you. Maybe you feel like you don't deserve God's love. You don't deserve God because you've kind of been, oh God, I don't know why you're like this and I'm going through this. I don't know why you allow this to happen. But if we understand the truth that he truly doesn't leave us and he truly doesn't forsake us. Even David said, like we're talking about David this weekend. Even David said, Psalm 139, he said, Lord, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, Lord, you are there. Lord, I can't even flee from your presence. That's actually good news that we can't flee from his presence. That means that God is always present with us. He is an ever-present God, ever-present help in our time of trouble. Isn't that wonderful? And so to know the truth will set us free that he really doesn't leave us. He really doesn't forsake us. That his presence, that he is always with you. He's with you now. He's with you when you go to your vehicle. He's with you when you're driving. When you walk into your front door, he's with you. When you go into the bedroom, he's with you. When you go to sleep, he's with you. You're going up, waking up early morning and you're like, oh, I need my coffee. He's with you. When you go to work, he's with you. When you go to, he is with you. He never leaves you and he's always with you. Isn't that awesome? And to understand that when we talk about the truth of the presence of God, we always talk about the power of God along with the love of God. And did you know that that was Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus? That they would know the power and the love of God? And when we understand that God doesn't leave me, he doesn't leave me. And in all of God's presence, there is great power and that there is love at the same time. And I'm thankful that God has power, but I'm thankful that he's a loving God. Because he could be a powerful God with no love, and that would not be good. But he is a loving God and a powerful God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 for a moment. Let's look at this prayer that Paul had for the church in Ephesus. And I believe that this is something that God desires for you, because he has it in his word. It says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. How many want that? Amen. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, this is his prayer, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How many want to be filled with the fullness of God tonight? And in order for you to be filled with the fullness of God, oh, may God reveal to you more than ever. You may know his love and have experienced his love, but I pray there is even more breakthrough, that you will know his love deeper and better, that you will be grounded and rooted in the love that God has for you. His love for you is so great that it surpasses human logic and human understanding. It's so eternal and so unconditional. It's not based on our performance. It's based on his nature that never changes. That in fact, John says that God is love. And the reason why he loves so much is because he is love. And he is pure love and godly love and good love and unconditional love and love that has your best in mind. And we need to be rooted and grounded in love. When we talk about that God is with me, I know that God is with me and he's a God that loves me so much. And some of you here today, you may be struggling with the love of God in your life. I'm here to remind you that God has not left you, even has not left his love in your life. That he loves you so much. But look at this. Let's continue. It says this, verse 20. Now to him who is able... Everyone say able. to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. It's amazing in this passage, verses 14 to 21, I see that God's love is explained, that God's love is so wide and deep and so amazing. But we also see that his power is so powerful. That he says that to him who's able, that God is so powerful that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. That God is a powerful God, that even your prayers, even your prayers of faith, what are you praying for? What miracle are you praying for? What are you asking God to do in this church? What's God, what are you asking God that's beyond understanding in this community? What do you want God to do in the community and in the school and in your business? What do you want God to do in the marriage that you have? What do you want God to do in the business that you run? What do you want God to do in your own life? What is it? Whatever you're asking, whatever you're believing for, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you are praying for, what you're believing for, and honestly, he actually does that many times. How many believe that here today? God is a God who is able and willing, and when we talk about the presence of God, we talk about his love and his power coming together. It's so beautiful that God is a God of great love. Look at Revelation chapter 1 for a moment. Let's take a look at the power of God for a moment. How many believe that God is powerful? Amen? There is nothing, the Bible says, that's impossible with God. But I want to kind of give you a revelation. Actually, John's given you a revelation of Jesus Christ, which is so powerful. Look at chapter 1, verse 9. We know Jesus being born in a manger. We know Jesus dying on the cross and the power of him rising from the dead. It's so awesome. But let's look at this vision that John had of Jesus. It says, I, John, verse 9, Revelation 1, 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. And he goes through the seven churches. Look at verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about with a chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in the furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen and the things which you are and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars, and so on and so forth that he goes. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, just for a moment. Or actually, let's go to verse 1. I just kind of want to give you a picture of God for a moment, because there's a reason for this. Revelation 4, 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things that must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in the front and the back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third like a face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night. And they say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. And they say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Now we get a picture of Jesus. We get a picture of the throne of God. I mean, how awesome and how powerful. What an amazing experience that John had in this vision as he went and he saw this awesome, awesome sight of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Can you name one president? Can you name one prime minister? Can you name one king that has glory and honor like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can you name one person that has a throne room like this? Can you name anybody on earth, past, present, or in the future that we know of, that has the power and the authority like Jesus Christ? No, we can't. And isn't it amazing that we know Jesus, his presence? Listen, the truth of his presence is that he is all powerful. Oh, listen, church, we need to have and recognize the truth of his presence, that he is a powerful God and he is also a loving God, so that no matter what need we come before the Lord, we have the faith in believing who he says he is, he can do it. That he truly is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We know that he is the King of Kings. We know that there is a kingdom that he rules. And this kingdom has what? No end. And the Bible says in Psalm 103:19, it says that God has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Isn't that awesome? So when we say to the Lord in church, we're worshiping him and we're thanking him and we're calling on his name, we must understand that where God is, his character follows and his kingdom follows, because the kingdom of God is where God reigns. And how many know that God wants to reign in your life and in your heart, and he wants you to surrender to him, understanding the truth of how awesome he is? When was the last time you truly recognize the awesome power of God and the awesome love of God, where you were so focused on him that your big problems began to shrink? Isn't that true? How many's ever done that? You've looked at God and you're like, "God, I am in a time where I am just focusing on you, and you are bigger than what I thought you were." God's kingdom follows where God is, and God's kingdom is righteousness and holiness and peace and joy and health and strength and power and purity and pure love. Isn't that wonderful? So where God is, that's what follows. His kingdom, the nature, the characteristics of his kingdom follow, because his kingdom rules over all. And how we long for God's presence so that his kingdom will follow. Isn't that the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that true? When we talk about the presence of God, we see the power of God working along the love of God. The power of God enables, the love of God is what motivates him to do it. Isn't that wonderful? How many are thankful for the presence of God? Secondly, we need to understand not only the truth of God's presence, but we need to be aware of his presence. We need to personally be aware of his presence. And how many understand that when we are living, listen, when we live from day to day and we have all of our responsibilities and we have all of our trials that we may be facing and all the things that we're trying to overcome in life, it's so easy for us as human beings to get distracted. You've ever been distracted before? And God doesn't want us to be distracted, and the enemy wants us to be distracted because he knows that we are personally aware of God's presence, that we will be focused on him, because when we are personally aware of his presence, we are people that, when you are personally aware of the presence of God, and you know his holiness and his power and his love and the works that he did, and you truly do remember what he has done in our lives, when you are personally aware of his presence moment by moment, you apt to be a person that longs to obey him, that longs to surrender to him, that longs to worship him. How many know that when you are aware of his presence, you will begin to worship God? Now, what's amazing is when we come together, which we'll talk about in a moment, when we come together, it forces us and helps us to come together and to worship the Lord together. But God is also interested in us to be aware of his presence personally every single day. So that when you're at work, that you know that, God, you are with me. I'm aware of that. The Bible says, and Pastor Ray mentioned this, and I mentioned it this morning as he said that. He talked about Psalm 22:3, about how God is enthroned in the praises of his people. It, literally in the psalm, it talks about Israel. But we know that as we praise the Lord, that God is enthroned in our praises as we worship him. And how many understand that when we worship the Lord, it's just amazing. When we worship the Lord, we're focused on him and we're aware of him even more as we magnify him. But when we get up out of bed and we choose to personally be aware of his presence, we actually begin to worship him and to praise him and to thank him for who he is. It's interconnected, and when we begin to praise him and to worship him, we begin to see him for who he is, and worship is one of the most powerful ways that we affirm that, God, I am dependent on you, I love you, I'm here to serve you, I surrender to you, I want to please you, and I want to glorify your name. God, I thank you for who you are and what you have done in my life, and Lord, I thank you and I worship you for what you will do today. Isn't that wonderful? We worship God for who he is, what he's done, and what he's about to do. And when we worship the Lord, it helps us to personally be aware of him. But it's amazing how the scripture says that God is enthroned in our praises. That word enthroned literally means he sits, rests, he dwells in our praises. Isn't that awesome? And the evidence of God's presence is really, again, when he begins to do works in our life and in our heart, there's fruit from his kingdom as we begin to worship the Lord, even personally before the Lord. I know the Lord begins to free me. He begins to help me to see. He begins to soften my heart. How many's ever had a hard heart before about something? You're like, Lord, my heart's getting hard, or I don't like this, Lord. I'm beginning to get angry. God, Holy Spirit, begin to soften my heart. I worship you, Lord. You begin to worship the Lord. God begins to do a work in your life. Amen. And God is enthroned in our praises, and it's so important for us to be personally aware of his presence, but it's also important for us to be corporately aware of his presence. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4 for a moment. Many of you know this passage, I'm sure. You know, Peter and John, I mentioned a little bit this morning how he healed the lame man, and you know, it's such a horrible thing that they did so that they were arrested, right? Peter and John were arrested, and so obviously they were telling them they don't want the name of Jesus to be declared. And we know, remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. They weren't wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, demonic influences. They don't want the name of Jesus to be declared, right? Because Jesus is the hope. And so the church was praying for them. And so in verse 23, they were let go, and they went to their own companions, and Peter and John reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that they raised their voice to God, when they heard about this, the church collectively, together, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. Verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now look at verse 29. Look at their prayer. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may, what? speak your word, right? By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled, everyone say assembled, together. Say together loudly. Come on. Together. So they were assembled together praying for boldness, that God would fill them with boldness to speak the word more. The Bible says that when they were assembled together, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, they were gathered together. They were assembled together. They had one purpose. They had a unity. They were together, and they prayed that God would not give them. Listen, they didn't pray, oh, God, you know, help us to go somewhere else where we're accepted. No, they prayed, God, in the midst of this persecution, in the midst of them forbidding to name the name of Jesus, Lord, we come collectively as one body with one voice, even though we are many members in one body, and one local place, we are praying to you, God. We recognize and we are aware of your presence. And because we're aware of your presence, we seek you together. With one voice, we call out your name. Give us boldness. And when they did that, that God did a powerful thing. The place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were able to have the boldness to speak the word of God. And it happened because they were aware of God's presence corporately. I believe that there are things that you will miss from God if you don't come together corporately with one another. God chooses when we corporately worship God, when we corporately seek the Lord, when we corporately serve one another and wash each other's feet, when we corporately come together and serve and love the community and we proclaim the love of Jesus. When we come together, I'm telling you, the Bible says that God is enthroned in our praises, and as we praise and worship and we are aware of him and we depend on him, we pray, we seek his face, I'm telling you, God does things that he won't do, that he doesn't do just as a personal relationship with God. God is, yes, he's personal with us, but he died for the whole world. We know that. And he died to redeem the body of Christ together. Isn't that wonderful? And so I encourage churches to come together corporately, not to just come to church, but we come corporately expecting and having faith that the same God that those early disciples prayed for Peter and John is the exact same God that is here even tonight. That God wants to shake things. That God wants to rattle things. That God wants to empower you. That he wants to break chains off you. That he wants to give you a boldness. That he wants to give you a compassion. He wants to give you a burden. And together as a church, as you cry out to God together, as you seek the Lord together, as you hunger for him together, he pours his spirit on you together corporately, and you are moved, and you are shaken, and you are changed, and you are transformed, and you go out and transform the world after that. Because of the boldness of the Lord upon your life. There are things that God wants to do in his presence that he wants to do corporately as the body of Christ. Wow, this was a powerful thing. And we know that corporately we see, I want to turn to another passage here, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We know that the temple being built under the instruction of Solomon, obviously David wanted to. Notice David's mentioned a lot this weekend. I noticed that. How about you? David wanted to build the temple, but the Lord said, no, you're not going to build it. Your son Solomon is. And so Solomon, we know that there was much that went into building the temple. And we know that in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we see that corporately that Solomon was dedicating the temple unto the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Did you know it's okay to dedicate things unto the Lord? We dedicate our lives. I'm sure you guys dedicated this church building unto the Lord, right? We dedicate it unto the Lord. It's a corporate time. And let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and let's look at verses 3 to 4, and then we're going to jump to chapter 7. Just to kind of give you a taste, then the king turned around, blessed the whole assembly. Everyone say the whole assembly. So the whole assembly was there, and it wasn't through technology either. They were actually there. Then the king turned around, blessed the whole assembly of Israel. And while all the assembly of Israel was standing, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hands what he spoke with his mouth to my father David," saying, and he goes on to talk about what God has fulfilled, and then he dedicates the temple unto the Lord, and he prays unto the Lord. And then in chapter 7, the Bible says, look at this. Remember, he's before the whole assembly. There is a togetherness. There's a corporate assembly. And then the Bible says, when Solomon had finished praying, something happened. Look at this. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement. And what did they do? They worshiped and they praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good and his mercy endures forever." You see, there was a corporate assembly. They were gathered together under the name of the Lord for the purpose of the Lord, and there was a dedication of prayer and honor unto the Lord. And after Solomon had prayed among the corporate assembly, what does the Bible say? The glory of the Lord fell in that place. It was a corporate time. It was a place where people were gathered together and God showed his glory. Fire consumed the offering and the people bowed before them prostrate on the pavement and began to worship the Lord because they understood together, they were aware that it was about God's presence and about glorifying him. They dedicated the temple unto the Lord. They knew this was the Lord's will. This was the Lord's work. And they came together at that time of dedication. And the Lord chose to show himself in a powerful way, in a great way, that I believe that no one forgot that day ever. You better believe they marked that day on their calendar. How many want to see the glory of God? You want to experience the great power and the love of God in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in this community, in the schools. You want to see revival break out. You want God to do great and mighty things that you would have never dreamed of and ever even thought of. You just want to see God transform people's lives and many people come into the kingdom. How many want that? It's so important for us to know the truth that he is here with us and to be aware personally in our lives, but so important that we come together corporately knowing that God is among us and that he wants to do something in our lives, yes, personally, but he wants to do something here corporately. How many know that God is here at Calvary Assembly of God? That he corporately wants to move on the behalf and through this church? To show his glory, and his glory is full of goodness, and it's full of the kingdom of God, of joy and peace and righteousness and healing and restoration and all that comes with who God is and in his presence. Man, may we be hungry to be together. And this church is so precious. I mean, I just see it on your faces. I see it as you converse with one another. I feel it from the pastor. I feel it from the pastors and the leadership. I just sense God's love in this place. You love God. You love him so much. You love people. I sense it. I see it. And I believe that God has great, great, great days coming. But always remember corporately to be aware that it is about him and that he is here. And he wants to do a work among you and in you and through you. How many want that? Amen? So we need to be aware of God's presence. Are you aware of his presence on a daily basis? Do you forget that God is with you? In the hard time, are you blinded to that because things are hard and it doesn't feel like God is there, it doesn't look like God is there, but what we must do is walk by faith and not by sight. We got to walk through the eyesight of what God sees and not what our natural eyes deceive us seeing. We need to believe, God, that he is with us, that he wants to take care of us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to protect us. He wants to heal us. And he does want to pour his spirit upon us to empower us to be witnesses in this community and wherever your world is. The third thing here today is not only the truth of his presence, the power and the love of who God is, but also the awareness of his presence. But lastly here today, I want to talk about the hunger for God's presence. We could know that God is all-powerful and all-loving, and we know that God is an awesome God. We know that God, we could be aware of his presence and be like, Lord, you're so awesome. But the question is, are you hungry for God above anything else? Where was that woman who gave the scripture? Thank you. That was awesome. Thank you for obeying God. God spoke to us through that scripture. Isn't that awesome? And what we need to understand is that, yeah, are there idols that we have in our life that we are seeking more of, or are we solely hungry for God more than anything else? And I want to tell you something. The husband that's hungry for God, the marriage will get healthy. The wife that's hungry for God, the marriage will get healthy. The parents that are hungry for God, their parenting will be healthy. When you hunger for God and you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added. It will be in line. The question is, do you have a hunger for God? Do you have a hunger for his presence? I'm so thankful that God is a God of presence. We know that he instructed Moses to build the tabernacle. He told Solomon about the temple. And we know that Jesus was God in the flesh, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that awesome? That God was in a fleshly temple, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus died and he rose again, and we have been, when we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit, as I was telling the youth tonight. And it's amazing to me that even right now as I'm speaking and as you're listening, that if you've received Jesus, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And that God is now residing inside of me and inside of you, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That God resides in us as a temple, and we need to be hungry for God who resides in us. Isn't that an awesome thought? That Almighty God resides in you and I. But the question is, do we have a hunger and a thirst? Do we hunger and thirst for God? Look at Exodus chapter 33. We see that Moses sought the Lord in Exodus 33. He sought the Lord, but look at this. I want to show you this. You see, he was about, even in the Old Testament, with the tabernacle. We could talk about the tabernacle and the temple and how powerful it is, how it relates to the New Testament, the New Covenant. It's so powerful. But one of the main messages that God is showing us is that he is a God of presence. He wanted to let people know, I am with you, that I am a God who is with you. Say that. Just say, God is with me. He's with you. Even right now in Exodus 33, I want to show you this verse. And I think this will pertain to anybody because it's the Bible. But boy, it could really pertain to some teenagers here today. Look at verse 7, 33 to 7. Moses took his tent, pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. It came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, each man stood at his tent door, watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. How many are thankful that God is a God of relationship? And all the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose. And what did they do? They worshiped. Why? Why did they worship? Because they recognized, they were aware of the presence of God. Each man in his tent door. And so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. Why would he return to the camp? Because he was done. Okay? Nothing. He was done. Look at this next part of the verse. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man. Everyone say young man. How many teenagers are here? Can you raise your hand? Can you say this boldly together? Say a young man. Say it out loud. young man, right? Okay, we could say even a young person, all right, ladies, I know. His servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, hurried up and got out of the tabernacle. He couldn't stand it anymore. It got boring. No. A young man, he did not depart from the tabernacle. Why didn't Joshua depart from the tabernacle? Because Joshua was hungry for the presence of God. He saw the presence of God do things. He was a young man when those were rescued from Egypt out of slavery. He understood. He saw things that God did. He was a servant of Moses. He knew the power of God. He saw the miracles of God. He understood the things that God did. He understood the people of God before God rescued him. He understood what slavery looked like. He understood God, and he was hungry for God's presence because he understood that with God it's good. That without God and against God and idolatry is not good. Joshua was a young man that was hungry to seek God. He wanted to be in the presence of God. Are you like Joshua tonight? Are you someone that wakes up in the morning, man, and you just can't wait to seek the Lord? Or are you very quick? And listen, we're all guilty. We all do this. Are you just like, oh, okay, who texted me? Who's on Facebook? Who's on Instagram? And you go on through all these things. Okay, what's on TV? What's on the news? What's the weather? And we go through our life, and we're like, we're driving to work, hurrying up. We're late for work because of, I don't know, is there traffic here? Is there traffic? Just is there? You might be going to work, and you're just late, all right? All right, you spill coffee all over your pants in the car. You're like, oh, I can't believe this. I gotta go. And so you're late, you know, and by the time everything's all going, you're like, oh, yeah, hey, God. Are you hungry for God? You see, it is the presence of God that makes the difference in our lives. And many times people come to me, we pray over people and say, I have all this worry and anxiety. And the first thing we say, do you ever spend time in God's presence? No, I never do. Well, begin there. Begin spending time in the presence of God. And listen, because the presence of God is God being there, and he will be able to do things that only he can do in your heart and your mind. He'll give you the peace that you need. You need to be like Joshua, where you're hungry for God. And when God's presence is there, listen, David hungered for God. He said, as the deer pants for the water, so I long for you. I thirst and hunger for you. Isn't that true? Are you like the deer? You're thirsty for water. Are you hungry for the presence of God? Or has the enemy tricked you into thinking that God doesn't love you, that God has forgotten you, that God has forsaken you? And maybe not altogether. You know that theologically. You know God will never leave you, but you know emotionally over here, you've checked out and you believe that God has kind of abandoned your hand in that part of your life. When the truth is, God hasn't. He's there, and he's there for you. Are you hungering for his presence that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think? Because you see, it's the presence of God alone that will heal your disease, that will mend your relationship, that will help you, guide you in your life, that will give you the joy and the peace that you need, that will release you from depression, that will help you in every area of life. It is God with you and abiding in you that is able to do those things in your life. Are you Know the truth of it? Do you know his power? Are you focused on his power? Are you worshiping him? Do you understand that God is enthroned in your praises, that he sits and dwells and he rules in the praises of his people? And as you worship him, he begins to do miracles and work things that only he can do in a miraculous way. How many has ever heard of Christ for the Nations? Raise your hand. There was an evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke. He passed away not too long ago, maybe a year or two ago. I'm bad at chronological order when it comes to people, but I know it was about a year, maybe 2 years, maybe three. But Reinhard Bonnke was an evangelist that was born and raised in Germany, called by God to preach the gospel in Africa, and he began the ministry of Christ for the Nations, and he was a great evangelist, has great writings, great books. And so one day he has an evangelist that oversees Christ for the Nation since passing. His name is Daniel Kalenda. Daniel Kalenda was at one of the crusades that he was preaching at, but before he was preaching at the crusade in Africa, and we're talking about not a few hundred or a few thousand people, we're talking about like hundreds of thousands of people in one place. I mean, fields are full of people, and it's massive. If you look it up, look up Christ for the Nations, look up their gospel crusades that even Reinhard Bonnke conducted and led. And so one day they had the service, and the worship was going on. It was a powerful time of worship. And Daniel Kalinda, who leads Christ for the Nations, was up on the platform. And all the other ministers that were part of it were up on the platform during worship. And so worship stopped. And so Daniel Kalinda tells the story how he comes up, and he is about, after, you know, there was a transition time. There's a pastor transition of worship. He told everybody just to sit where they're at. Daniel Kalinda was about to come up to the podium, not to preach, but he needed to give a few announcements. As he was beginning to give a few announcements, all of a sudden there was some commotion going on in the crowd. And obviously it was so far away, but he knew it was a commotion because he started hearing all kinds of rustling, yelling, some screaming. And he asked, obviously, the ushers that were there. Can you imagine how many ushers are there? But he asked the ushers to kind of figure out what was going on. He didn't know what was going on. And so all of a sudden, someone started coming up from that area with a crutch. And they had a crutch, and they were walking without using the crutch, and threw it on the platform and said, "God healed me." And all of a sudden, there was a line of people that were coming out of that commotion of wheelchairs and crutches and all kinds of people getting healed of all kinds of things, and they were throwing crutches. He said there was a massive pile of wheelchair and crutches, and people were walking freely, and he realized that it was the presence. He said, this is how he explained it. He said it was the presence of God working among the people of the crowd. He said, "I wasn't even preaching. We just finished worshiping. I was about to give announcements," and he said what Jesus was doing. Listen, his presence was there, and Daniel says this: Jesus was walking throughout all the aisles of the crowd, and he was healing people one by one. It is the presence of God. It's his presence. And we don't have to tell God what time he has to do it. We don't have to give God the method of how he has to do it. God just needs to be aware. Listen, we just need to be aware of God's presence, to know that he's here, that we honor him, that we hunger for him, and we respect and fear his presence. And God begins to do a mighty work that only he can do. You see, that was his agenda, because it's his people, and because it's his creation, and it's his gospel, and it's his blood, and it's his redemption. And he wants to do it in every person that is willing and hungry, that longs for God. And it could be you tonight. Whatever God wants to switch, whatever God wants to heal, whatever God wants to break, whatever God wants to change, whatever God wants to transform, are you hungry enough to seek him and to depend enough on him only and nothing else, knowing else, and say, "God, I know that it is by your presence." In other words, "God, I know you are here. You love me. Oh, you have compassion on me. You have tender mercies. I thank you for your love, but God, I thank you for your power. I ask you, God, by your presence only, you mend this. Lord, restore this. Lord, heal this. Lord, free me in this. Lord, deliver me from this. Lord, get rid of this. Lord, fill me with you." And when we're hungry for his presence, he does what he wants to do, because we allow him. And we say, "God, I surrender here. Take it. Do what you want. Say what you want. Call me to what you want. Move in me to what you want. Help me to know what I need to do, Lord, next. Father, Lord, I obey you. I surrender to you. All I know is, Lord, your presence is awesome. And I want your presence to change me. And God, I pray that as you change me, that you'll use me to change the world." May we be like Peter, that said to Jesus after the disciple, there were many disciples that walked with Jesus no more because it was hard to understand what Jesus was teaching. And Peter, Jesus turned to the 12. He said, "Are you going to go also? Are you going to walk away also?" May we be like Peter at that moment that said, "Lord, to whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, I'm hungry for you." Peter, man, he was changed by God. He was changed by the grace of God. He said, "God, I long for you. I want to be with you. That's why the disciples, when Jesus says, I need to go away, and not to be sad to go away, he says, for your advantage that I go away, so that I could send the helper. And that's why the disciples naturally were sad, because they loved being in the presence of Jesus. They longed for him. They loved him. He transformed them. Can we close our eyes tonight? What's amazing to me, I told this to the teenagers, and I really felt that the Lord wanted me to share this verse with you. If you close your eyes just for a moment, Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, I want to read this to you. Did you know that this world, more than any other law, more than anything that we could try to give to this world, though there are good things that we could give to them, did you know the greatest thing that they need is the presence of God? We know that they need Jesus, right? And that's his presence coming to live on the inside of us by receiving him and being born again. If with every eye closed, if you're here tonight, and I don't know if you were invited, I don't know if it's your first time, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. There's eternal death that is waiting you, and that is not the will of God. He loves you, and it's his will that none should perish, that all should come to everlasting life, and it's only through believing and receiving Jesus. It's the only way. And if you're here today and you've never been born from above, you've never had received Jesus to have a relationship with him and to be forgiven of your sins and be a child of God, if you've never accepted Christ into your life, can you just raise your hand so that I could pray with you? Is there anyone here today? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you stand and come up. I just want to pray with you. But is there someone here you say, I've never accepted Christ into my life. I want eternal life. I want to know that I'm going to be with him when I die. You're here today. I want to read this passage. God desires for you to hunger for him and to thirst for him. And I know it's a Sunday night. You're not used to a Sunday night. I know maybe it's later than usual. I don't know. But just press in just for a moment. Jesus said this. He says, you go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. And then he says, freely you have received, freely give. I want to ask you here tonight as your eyes are closed. Before you give, you need to receive. And I want to ask you here today, what is it that you need to receive from God? Are you hungry to receive all that God desires for you tonight? Are you hungry to receive all the miracles that God desires to do in your heart and your life? Are you hungry for God tonight? In other words, are you like, Lord, I long for you more than anything or anyone else in life. Are you like, God, if you're not hungry, he doesn't condemn you. His calling out to you, if you're not hungry, God wants to make you hungry and thirsty again for him. And this is the beautiful thing about God, is that you can be hungry and thirsty for God, but at the same time, you're satisfied by him. You will never thirst again, and you will never hunger again for anything in this world, and you will be satisfied with Jesus 24/7, but you will be hungry for more of him. Only Jesus can do that. See, the world gives to you, and it feeds you for a moment, the pleasures for a moment, but then you're dry and empty, and you're worse than before. And then you go back, you're addicted, you're trying to get back to something else again because it's the world. It's not going to fill you. It's not going to satisfy you. But Jesus is different. You will be hungry and thirsty for him, but you will be hungry and thirsty and satisfied at the same time. Only God can do that. Only God can satisfy you. The question is, are you hungry for him? What are you hungry for here today? Maybe you need to be hungry for God just to revive your heart again unto him. You say, I just need an all-out revival. David prayed it in the Psalms. He says, Lord, revive me according to your word. Maybe you need a revival in your life. You say, Holy Spirit, revive me. Bring me back to life. Help me to have that hunger and the thirst again for the Lord. If that's you here today, I want you to just come to the altar and seek the Lord in His presence at the altar. Yes, this is a holy place. This is holy ground. The Lord is here as we revere and honor Him here today. You may want to kneel. You may want to stand and lift your hands. I don't know what you want to do, but just come to the altar and say, Lord, revive me. If that's you here today, God, revive me. Revive me. I want to be filled with you. Maybe tonight you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you want to be baptized, you want to be filled, you want to be immersed in the Holy Spirit to empower you and to fill you and to let Him just give you the satisfaction of being filled in the presence of God, where you no longer hunger for those things of the world. You no longer hunger for those idols that was read to us through that awesome scripture. That you hunger for God and you hunger for Him and you realize, why did I hunger for anything else? Why did I thirst for anything else? I have the problems in my life because of everything else. But you hunger for God tonight. Oh, you just need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon you. Just ask Him. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Oh, fill me anew. Fill me afresh. Oh, I want to live for you. I surrender to Jesus. I surrender my life anew. Just come on. Just seek His face. Let the presence of God, let Him do what only He can do tonight in your life.